The name of this message is, in this hour, number 8, tape number 8, The Parade of the Martyrs. The Parade of the Martyrs. This hour of tape will give you some of the realities of heaven and also what happened to the martyrs and who are the martyrs. I remember right well reading as a young boy when I first started to read in the early grades of my school life about a martyr. And we read those things in our home. Gave us a kind of an insight of there were people away from the home for a purpose. And the martyr is a one who goes out for God and is killed for the gospel. There's many of them done that. I remember a young man preaching a message one time years ago. He was condemning everybody but himself. And everybody come under the condemnation of his preaching. End of his preaching said, I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to dance all over God's heaven. You know, that was an individual thought. Because he thought he was going to heaven. He said, there's just going to be a selected few going to heaven, and I'm one of them. And it would have been terrible for him to go to heaven and find a place where only himself was going to dance all over God's heaven. Then he finished up his message by a worm in the middle of an apple. An old preacher hollered out, Brother, the only worm I know of is the one crawling in your stomach, the way you're preaching. But poor fella, he just hadn't had the experience. You see, he was a young man, hadn't had the experience of suffering for the gospel's sake, just started to preach. I would like to just cite a few of the martyrs that I know of. The three Freds went out from England years ago to South America. They started through the jungles and the rivers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only thing they found was their boat and a few of their personal trinkets. They'd gone in among the Indians, and the Indians thought that this was an intrusion of their privacy. And the three Freds were murdered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I saw those three Freds in heaven under the altar of God. God had brought the souls of these boys to heaven because they went for a purpose. Then there was a man in the state of Missouri who was a Christian. And that was years ago as a young man. And they put him in a barbecue and burned him to death for some reason. Right in this United States of America, in the state of Missouri, burned him to death. They said that the cries of this man as they put him, his legs started to burn, was awful. But I saw him in heaven. He was in heaven, and I spoke to him about being barbecued in his own barbecue stand. And he said, they were very mean, but said, I forgive them but they didn't realize what it was to be, didn't realize what they were doing. And then there was Stephen. The man who was stoned to death, when he was stoned to death, and Paul was one who held the coats. And here's what he said, forgive them, Lord. For they didn't know what they were doing. He was martyred. He was one of the early martyrs of the Bible days. And then there were the Christians there in the early Rome, thrown to the lions. And they were thrown to the lions because they were Christians, just because they were Christians. That's all. But they were thrown to the lions. I saw them in heaven. Then many others that died for the gospel of Jesus Christ, those that had been martyred. And there was many of the missionaries that had given their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then down in San Salvador, there was four nuns who were killed there by the people that day, but that was too late for me to see them in heaven because it happened after I had gone to heaven. But there was, over in Vladivostok in Russia, under the hand of the Bolsheviks back in those days, I was a young boy on a boat going over into the Orient and over up into the Vladivostok. Now, Vladivostok is a port belonging to Siberia, Russia. as an early man, I went into the service and landed up there during this trip in Vladivostok. And Vladivostok was very, very cold, and it was freezing cold. But they took some nuns out, just took them out, and beat them beat their bottoms with lashes, the Bolsheviks. And then two of them was put to death under the hands of Bolshevism. I saw those two nuns in heaven because they'd give their life for Jesus Christ. They were preachers of the gospel because they were maybe a little different than us, but God saw their souls. Jesus came into this earth not to condemn the world, but to save those that was lost. That was the love of Jesus. When I was in heaven, I was taken and sat on the love seat in heaven, that you would have love. Now, without love, it is impossible to be a real Christian. Unless you have love for your brother, for your sisters, and even for your enemies, that is impossible for you to really and truly be a true Christian. To be a true Christian, you walk around with love in your heart and in your soul. And I could go on for many others. I was thinking of one who was martyred, Brother Sorensen, in northern Brazilian territories. Precious man, preaching the gospel there, and he went up into the Rio Branco territories, and he was killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ, killed. And when he was passing away, going away, he said, "I'm glad that I'm able to give my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ." He was in heaven. When I was in John Osteen's in Houston, Texas, you know, the Baptist man who received the Baptist Holy Ghost, Baptist John. Well, Baptist John had some missionaries there. And he said, "Dr. Calais and Mrs. Calais, will you come up and lead the missionary parade?" Well, you know, we did. We got up there and did just that. In other words, the parade there, we went all around through that great area. It was a big center. He was having his yearly convention in the convention center in Houston, Texas. Well, I didn't want to do that, really, because I knew there was missionaries that had suffered, that had died. And I'm going to talk about the missionary parade in heaven. I saw a missionary parade in heaven to the martyrs, the parade of the martyrs, exactly. But before we go into heaven to tell of this wonderful reality of what God is doing to the martyrs, there's many gone on and died for the gospel of Jesus Christ that have come to their very end, preaching the gospel. And there's been those that have been shot and killed and all kinds of murders of the Christian. Now, over in Saudi Arabia, there's a place called Jeddah. And Jeddah as an area there where there was walled area upside. It was just a narrow place about 7 or 8 inches wide where nobody could get through. Well, the Turkish armies at that time were massacring Christians all over. They came to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, for the great massacre. And here's where they caught these Christians there and killed them with swords and pierced them and laying dead there in Jeddah years and years ago in the onslaught. I saw those Christians in heaven. But I was there in that very spot preaching the gospel with a cross hanging on me, Muslim territory. And I was there, and a little boy come down out of one of those Turkish-type buildings coming around, a little fat boy. And he come down there. He says, "Hello, Jesus man." We see right among all of those chaotic conditions of unbelief, God always has his people. He said, "Hello, Jesus man." And I said, so he followed me. So I followed him up into one of these crevices, almost a place with almost no, up these steps, the old Turkish style. And here was a Christian family of all things, set right in the middle of that area. That was only about, I'd say maybe 20 years ago. But there was a Christian boy, a little fat boy, that did have enough love of God in his heart to come down and say, "Hello, Jesus man." Now, are you a Jesus man? You one believes that Jesus came to this earth to save that which is lost. So I could go on and on and on into the different parts of the world and the different parts of the area to tell you of the glorious things that God has done, and also those who have given their lives as martyrs for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could go on and on. So therefore, when I sat on the love seat, I absolutely believe that God put love in my heart. So then all the martyrs are in heaven. Now remember, they're of all different nationalities, not just a certain nationality. Martyrs have come out of the whole parts of the world was martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Martyred because they believed in a gospel that they were preaching, and they wanted to carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth. So I could think of other martyrs, but we'll just what we'll do now, just go into heaven and watch, if you will, the parade of the martyrs. God loves us, and He loves you. And His heaven's so big. That boy that preached that worm in the apple that time, he didn't realize who was in heaven, how many would be in heaven. Now, God is not a God of condemnation to kill everybody, and somebody thinks they've got the only kind of religion. That's a bad feeling, because I want to tell you why. God has people of other folds. He said, I have people that's not of this fold. They're all over the whole world, and the whole universe are God's people. And when they come to the time of the rapture, you'll be surprised out where they'll be coming from. They'll come from the extreme north, the extreme south, and as far as the world is, they will come for the rapture out of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue will come out to meet you when your graves open up to meet you to start for heaven. It's not a one-man religion or a parade of just some kind of religion, let's say Baptist, Methodist, or whatever. There's people that think that they're the only organization going to heaven. That's such a narrow-minded thinking when heaven is so big and we got such a great big God so beautiful and so real. Man looketh upon the outside of a person, but God looketh upon the heart, and He knows exactly what's going in the soul and the heart of those people. So let's go to heaven to the parade of the martyrs. Every day, except the seventh day. Now, I don't know why God doesn't work. I guess what it is, He has patented the new heaven as to the way He made the earth. In other words, we're supposed to rest, but now we're living in the new rest, the rest of all the days. I have the rest in the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ that shed His blood on Calvary that made this way possible for us to go to heaven. So this happens every day in heaven. Every earthly day, 6 days a week, except let's call it the Sabbath. Well, now, we're not the keepers of the Sabbath now. What we are, we're the fulfillers of the Sabbath. That's different to be a keeper in the Sabbath and a fulfiller of the Sabbath. So we are fulfillers of the Sabbath. In other words, we have fulfilled the Sabbath, and therefore we are now in the parade of joy and peace and long-suffering under grace and glory. Hallelujah. And that's why we are no longer keepers of the Sabbath. We are fulfillers of the Sabbath. When Jesus went to the cross, He shed His blood, and He come up with a new day of glory, a new resurrection, new day, that we are performers, wonderful performers. We are performers of the glory of God. We demonstrate we are performers of the glory of God upon this earth. We are God's representative upon this earth. That's why I don't believe in going through the tribulation, because I'm ready to go. Now, if you're ready to go, why do you want to stay around and tribulate? But let's get back into heaven to the parade of the martyrs. Heaven's a great place. It's a big place. It's a miraculous place. When you think of the city four square alone, standing up there 1,500 miles into the air of heaven, God's air. And the temple. Now just think of the throne of God, so big, miles and miles across the front of it. When you think of underneath that, this great big place underneath, big enough to hold a couple of million under there. I said a couple of million, not just a few martyrs. You might say 10 or 15 or 20. God's got a lot of martyrs, a lot of His people whose souls are there and praying the prayer, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Now let's just try to begin to understand the base of the throne of God, how big it is. That poor boy was preaching that message down there upon the earth that time. It'd be something for him just to dance alone when it's so gigantic and so big. Now let's go across from the river of life, clear to the left hand of God, clear to that place where it's in. Now you can stand there on a city four square and look from there across at the base of the throne of God. And it's miles and miles and miles and miles and more miles, trying to get into your mind. In other words, you'd be, let's say, standing up upon the top of the Empire State Building in New York, or one of the biggest buildings there. And then with a telescope, you could see San Francisco. Now, that's a long way across there. And that's just a part of what it looks like in heaven. So all across that United States, there to the other end, is the base of the throne and the glory of God. That's big. That's tremendous. That's big. And it's prepared for millions of people. Millions. Millions. Now, this is heaven is a gigantic place. It's not just a little place where you think you're going to get in the corner of God's heaven with a cabin. Somebody they sing the song, Build Me a Cabin in the Corner, Glory Land, Forget It. There's no such a place as the corner of heaven. No such place as a little cabin in heaven. It's all gigantic and big. Now, to bring this all in perspective, to bring it all into the human mind is, remember, in heaven, you travel by the Spirit. You have no trouble to travel. You travel alone. You can be in one end of the throne of God 1 minute and down the other end of God's throne in the next minute. Now, that's traveling. That's how heaven is. It's tremendous and gigantic and big, big place. Great big place. So then the parade of the martyrs. Now, every day the martyrs come out on the throne of God and face God. Now, the sons of God in the Bible days came out to present themselves to God. God loves people to present themselves to Him because He's the Creator and He's a Father. Now, a father and a family loves to see his children, naturally. A father would look upon his brood and see that little brood and watch them. That's a father, and God's a father. Now, Jesus said, when you pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, he's the Father of Jesus, he's our Father, and he sits upon his throne. God, the great God Jehovah. I'm talking about that. Now, it's hard for the human mind to conceive the greatness of God. But we're now turning to the parade of the martyrs, the great parade. Now, here is all the angels. Get the picture of all the angels. Now, I'm going to say 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Then just think of all the souls that's in heaven. Millions, thousands, and thousands of souls that's already there. Now, let's think of all the archangels. The archangels, all right, the great archangels. Gabriel and all of these archangels all have their position, their jobs. Now let's think of the tremendous, just try to get your mind and think of all the instruments, the piano so big, the harps, and all the stringed instruments and everything there in heaven. Just think of all those able to do their part. Down in Manaus on the river in South America in the great church there, it's a big church, a tremendous church with several shells or several levels. The bottom at the well of that church is where they go to pray, and then up the preacher is on the next level to look all around. Next level is all the different orchestras in that church. It's a wonderful church. And the trumpeters get up and blow the trumpets. When they do a cross, another you'd be sitting across one side, and there's the trumpeters stand up and blow the trumpets. It's a wonderful church. Then you got this choir singing and that choir singing, this choir singing. It's a beautiful place. Serving and worshiping God in Manaus. You can go to it in Manaus and see it. It's open. It's a church. The pastor there is an Indian. And you could go, most all the missionaries there, they like to attend that church because it's so beautiful and so real, and it's such a wonderful church to get in. Well, the sinners, they generally put it way up in the top shelf. When they come in, if they're not born again, they send them up to the top. When they get up to the top, of course, when they do, and they got to walk down that big rail and all the way down to the bottom to pray. So they got a journey down to pray. But that's the way that church is constructed. It's constructed in a gigantic manner, and it's a wonderful church, well laid out, and full of people. That church is so packed with people, but it's a wonderful place to be in. Before I went to heaven, I thought, my, this is the ultimate, this must be like heaven, must be. But when I got to heaven, I found out it was not even touch one little bit of heaven. God worship down there. And this gigantic worship place before the throne of God, miles and miles and miles. Now then you've got to think of the mansion sitting there, and you've got to think of all these things. You've got to think of this vast area where this all happens. And then God's army stands at attention. The horses stand at attention. Everything comes to a complete attention before God. And out come the martyrs. Oh, if you could ever see that parade. Out come the martyrs. And they come before God to march before God every day. Oh, it's so wonderful to see the parade of the martyrs in them. Don't you want to go to heaven and see the parade of the martyrs? Well, if you do. But after the wedding, after that's all over, it'll be not necessary for the parade of the martyrs, because we'll be in ultimate reality of victory. as they march out before the throne of God, here is those early Christians were thrown to the lions for the name of Jesus, for Christianity, thrown to the lions. They're in the parade. Sornerson's in the parade. All of these ones are in the parade. The three Freds are in the parade. Oh, they just go marching by, marching to God. This is heaven. One of the secrets of heaven I'm telling you about. Then also there's the different ones. And the man was put in the barbecue pit. He's right with the rest of them, smiling, really smiling, marching before God because he's a martyr. Now then there's also many other type of martyrs. Brother Sornerson, all these ones just marching before the throne of God. Then the families. Now the families that were killed and massacred, four fair families, different ones, whole families slaughtered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'm talking about a whole family. There they come walking by, the little children, just with a parade before God. It's the most wonderful parade, and God recognizes that they died for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you know who's leading them? Who's the lead of them? Jesus. Jesus walks before them just exactly like he walked the shores of Galilee, the Jericho Road, and all those places. Here is Jesus, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world, leading the parade. I was not worthy to lead that parade, I'm telling you, there in John Osteen's that he wanted me to lead. I had not been killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had not done that. I was not a martyr, just a plain missionary. But here was Jesus leading that parade as they walked behind him. Most glorious reality you ever saw. How many? Thousands. We don't know who's been martyred, only God. We don't know what's happened. And that wonderful parade walking by. And as they walk by, there's the music playing kind of in a muffled sound as they walked by, what you call a muffled sound. It was kind of what I mean it was going. And then after they got to the end, they turn around and face God as God recognized it was marked. And then the music started up in a full power. Ooh, with full power, because they victory, and it represent victory, what was going to happen in the future. There's going to be victory over the slaughterers, over the devil, and over everything he's got to offer. There's going to be victory, and the last enemy to be conquered is what? Death. Death is going to be conquered by God, and we'll be more than conquerors, because there'll be no more death. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more tears. Not necessary for any more prayers, because it'll be all over then. Now, people who do not realize how great heaven is could listen to this tape. We're making this tape around maybe 1:30 in the morning. I got up. We'd just been working today outside, some of us, and we come in, and I had things to do. So I went into bed, and I began to pray, and God says, get up and go do some taping. Because in this time, in the early hours of morning, I've just come from my room where I've been talking to God, where I've been obeying God, obeying him in prayer. So this taping tonight is coming right off of the altar of God, coming right off of the sanctuary, out of the sanctuary of God, right off from the right hand of God. God told me to get up and make this mess, do this taping, that you might understand more about heaven. In this parade was some of the people who were not of our nationality. They were, you could see they were dark-skinned, in a way, and oriental-eyes. Their souls had oriental-eyes. They were walking by, and understand, several centuries ago, in the early days of Christianity, there were some orientals that were killed because they believed in the... I read that at one time, but here they come marching by with the rest of them. There was oriental-eyes. There was people that you could see they'd had a black skin coming by, but now the skin was transparent like the rest of it, walking by. There was different ones from different countries walking by before God because they gave their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier. A soldier dies for his country. When you go into the service, you have to hold your hand up, possibly ready to give your life for the flag of the United States. Give your life for that. But this is more than being a soldier. This is more than giving your life as a soldier. You're giving your life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which you believe to be true. You're given your life. Are you ready to give yourself, your life, your whole life to Jesus? Are you ready to say, Jesus, I'm willing to go through and be a real Christian, to be love and go and carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth? Are you ready? Are you studying in that school you're going to go and carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth? It's so important that we send out missionaries. It's so important that we get them going with the gospel upon their heart. It's so important to start more Word Church. It's so important to do this thing, this reality for God. It's so important to establish places that preach the gospel, that this great world, this world, will be able to partake in the glories of God. Now we're going to pray. Dear Father, this early morning, we pray for those that are listening to this tape. Somehow, Lord, that you will touch their hearts and their souls. And we say, I'm not partaking of this world's realities anymore. I just want to give my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I help carry this gospel to the four corners of the earth. Now repeat this prayer after me. Father, in Jesus' name I pray, to use me in the vineyard of the Lord. You'll use me in the saving of souls. Yes, on this half an hour of this hour of tape number 8, we're still talking about martyrs and the parade of the martyrs. About 25 years ago, we went into the jungles, going up further up the Amazon, and the Rio Pequito Tigre, going back into the jungles of the interior. Quite a journey. We started going into the jungles, going up and down the different hills and valleys. I had with me Indians. One Indian carrying the load, going into the interior. What for? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Chalmeta, in Ecuador, go outside of Quito, the saints were murdered by the Alca Indians. They were murdered, put to death, because they didn't know who they were. I saw them in heaven. I saw them in the missionary parade. But I almost became a martyr one time. Not really very close. And to be and feel the spirit of martyrdom, it's nothing. You feel so good. You feel so good, you're going to die for Jesus. We was way back into the interior of the jungles among some of the tribes who were not so gentle, friendly. And finally, at the last part of the journey, I'd learned you should journey alone. Not to go with a crowd, but to go alone. And then they'll not kill you. So continuing the journey alone, nothing on me, but just my pants and just a skivvy, or what you call a top part of underwear, journeyed on the few kilometers into where the Indians were. As I left the other Indians and the other ones there in an area where there'd been a enclosure made one time, they sat down there and I was told by the Lord to journey on. I journeyed, I guess, about 2 more kilometers. There was Indians watching me behind the trees. I could see their faces peeking, just looking around at the trunk of these trees. They walked on in Jesus' name. Walked on. And they looked back, and I was walking in there alone. They're not going to hurt you if you're alone. That's about 25 years ago, and I continued on and came to an encampment where the Indians, because they were nomads, had made their camp. It was a long kind of a hut affair, big long one. This is where they slept. The women slept down one end, of the men down the other, and little children in the middle. But I went into the camp, and they watched me. I sat down on a log quite nauseated, quite exhausted for that long journey among millions of mosquitoes. Only I knew that God was with me and Jesus was with me. I have a picture of these wonderful Indians. Sat down on that log and they looked at me. Some of them come over and rubbed my face. As I was sitting there, there was a man, a tall man, sharpening the darts for their blowguns. I didn't know anything about him. But only they were watching me, circled around me. Older Indians, young boys, girls, fathers and mothers, they were there. But the Spirit of God told me to get up. I stood up and they watched me then very close. I could see them looking at me. What was I going to do walking up alone? Only by the Spirit of God, I walked forward to where this man was sharpening the darts. He looked at me, didn't do anything. He wondered, kind of his eyes looked as he was half frightened. I reached out and touched him and just said one word, Jesus. That's all. And he shouted something in his language, for I did not know what he was saying. But he dropped the knife, the kind of a knife. He dropped everything that he had and shouted in his language. Everybody was amazed. He had been blind. He was a blind man. Now, miracles are for a purpose. I've seen miracles. I've seen them just raised from the dead before that. So I touched him. God completely opened his eyes. He was blind. And Jesus did. I didn't know what he was blind, knew nothing. Only God would direct him. Then as he did that, they begin to look up and begin to say something in their language of which I knew not all. I walked back to the same log that I was sitting on there, and an Indian girl came up to me with a banana, small bananas, very as sweet as they could be. She peeled the banana back and gave it to me to eat. She knew what she was doing. I took that banana from that Indian girl and chewed on it. She knew, and they all knew, they come through the jungles, and they knew that I was nauseated because I began to throw up right there, trying to get just saliva out of my stomach. When I ate that banana, it was like honey going down through my inside, and it immediately stopped, the nauseation stopped everything. And there, I sat there, didn't know actually what they were shouting for. But later I learned that he shouted, I can see, I can see, I can see. And then he began to gather around me, I believe, to kind of, like I was some special person, or even as far as to be some kind of a god or something. But all I could say, they was touching me and shouting and patting me and doing everything in the world and rubbing my arms. And I kept saying, Jesus, 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 that one word, Jesus, Jesus. And I shouted, Jesus, Jesus. And they started saying Jesus. They didn't know what they were saying, but they started saying Jesus. First thing that all those Indians gathered there were saying one word, Jesus. What a power there is in that name of Jesus. What great power is in that name. So they prepared me a bed that night. What they did, they took bark of the tree and skinned it down and weaved it together to make me a special bed. My bed was placed more like in the children's area toward the men, and over toward the inside of the hut, the other side, there I laid down to get my rest and to sleep. I left my pants on, left my shirt on, my shirt, short shirt, and I laid down there to sleep because I was so tired. I fell asleep. Sleep with Jesus in an Indian hut. And in the night, I felt something touching my hip. And there I felt a hand creeping over me. I didn't know a hand was creeping over me. And a hand went into my pocket and took out what money was in there. Well, he certainly wasn't going to take it to a store to spend something. But the moon was shining bright, and I could look over. And he was looking at that in his hand, I guess wondering what it was. He walked back in and put it back in my pocket. That was quite an experience to have that happen. But these people do not make babies or whatever I should say in the hut. The men stay at one end, the women the other. That is their tradition. And there's no touch between the man or the woman in the daytime or in the hut. Never saw them in any way come together, the men and the women. It was breakfast time next morning. We got up and had this fire going. The fire was quite big. They'd cut the dry logs and pass them into the fire. They didn't have to chop them, kept pushing them in further because the fire was always burning. The leopards won't come near fire. They'll stand, look off, and they won't come into the fire. But on this fire, they had meat cooking. Monkeys, whatever, just cooking on the meat. But I got in the breakfast line with the rest of them because I was hungry. They handed me the arm of a monkey, the front arm of a monkey, with all the hair shedded off of it, and just the plain meat skinned off and skinned it to give it to me. What would you do if you handed the arm of a monkey? My Bible tells me to eat what is set before you. First time I'd ever tasted monkey in my life. But I began to chew some of that monkey off. It tasted a lot like rabbit. And I said, Lord, please help me. But I ate it. Then the roots that they dug and so forth. After this, it was around 9 o'clock in the morning because I did have a watch for me around that time, but they told time by a sand dial, that sand would come from the top to the bottom. It was time to go hunting. They were paired it off in couples because it was the day they'd gone in about four couples starting out into the jungle to hunt. Now this is the time they make babies, not there. They go out in the jungles to make their babies. Walking through the jungles, I didn't go with them, walking through the jungles, they have to be able to bring back a leopard's paw, meat, and all the things necessary, nuts and all the things necessary for food in the camp. And they have to stay out there until the wife is pregnant. And they eat of the tree that causes pregnancy. And come to find out, it did cause pregnancy. After taking to the University of Columbia, Cali Columbia, it did cause pregnancy, so they're not so dumb after all. And after the woman became pregnant, let's say 3 or 4 months, they come back into camp very proud, carrying the leopard's paw, carrying the things for hunting, coming back into camp with victory. But they got to stay out until they get the leopard's paw, until the woman's pregnant, until they haven't carried enough food back to the camp, that the camp could exist. That is the Indian style and Indian way of going. So to be a missionary among these people, you have to be called. Now, there's a difference between evangelism and missionary work. An evangelist will go out and go down to Rio de Janeiro, pass out tracts and speak. That's not missionary. That is an evangelism, which they did in Bible days. The evangelist went out to preach the gospel, just as important as a missionary. But make your call and election sure, because they're missionaries and they're evangelists. So the true missionaries have gone into the jungles to preach the gospel. And many of them have been murdered. And the saints were murdered. They went down to Shell Meadow and took an airplane. Elliot and these men went down from Quito and into there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Elka Indians. I went down the Napa River one time years ago, before they became friendly. And they're a pretty hostile bunch of Indians, I tell you. So they were in there to carry the gospel. But now they have Alka Indians born again, spiritually filled, and serving God. In heaven, during the missionary parade, here came the saints. And that's their real name. But they didn't sing when the saints go marching in. They were just with the rest of the missionaries, taking their reward for going among the Elka Indians to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I come very close to being a missionary one time with another tribe. They circled me, and they were really going to kill me. They were going every way, because I had intruded on their territory. But somehow or another, they stopped and looked, and I didn't get killed as not a missionary. Because, they said, an angel appeared. You see, as I was a little boy back there in the farm, an angel appeared to me age of five almost, and 14 years old. And that angel said, I'll protect you wherever you go. My guardian angel. And my guardian angel appeared there among those Indians. And they couldn't understand what that angel was. Scared them to death. And I came out of there alive. Coming back down the Amazon River to coming in to Leticia, there was an American missionary woman. She was a woman of faith, woman of reality. A lot of them thought, he'll never come out of there again, that he's gone among those Indians, just too much. He must be dead. That's me. He must be dead. But I wasn't dead. When I came back out of there, I had clothes, and all I had left on me was the long-handled underwear. All the rest of it was gone. Shirt. But that long-handled underwear, what type that comes over your shoulders and covers your legs, it's good for mosquitoes. And when I got into end of the Paquito Tigre River coming in, the first meal I had was with the Peruvian police out peace there. Had a meal with them, and coming on down the river and finally made it to Leticia. And this missionary, she was out there and said she had prayed every day. And she believed that he'd come back. She was the first to welcome me with a blanket. She thought maybe I'd be coming back almost naked because she knew what it was. She'd been very, that same missionary had been quite a long ways into the jungles. She told me how she'd walked the poles in the early days. Back in there, you walk the poles. You cut a tree down and let it cross a stream or a river. And you learn to walk across it. That's you get back in the jungles. And as a young woman, she'd been quite a way back in the jungles. She knew exactly what it was to be among the Indians. But she held in her hand a blanket because she didn't know I was coming back. She put that blanket around me and says, come and have food. Went into that home of that missionary. It was such a blessing to be among those who knew what the jungles was. We sat there, praise God, and had my first meal with them. And it was such a fellowship as we prayed together and glorified. That's what it is. And that next day, I was examining some of the Indians there for the disease of their body. Some of them had different diseases such as, TB, those type of diseases. I was prescribing medicine for them for the different diseases. We used to use a lot of adabrin in those days, penicillin. And further down the river, about 200 kilometers, was a clinic built first for the pulling of the teeth. This type of thing of the Indians. One day I examined at least 200 Indians of the different kinds of diseases, but one was wanting to be delivered of a baby. But let's get back in the jungles and let you know what missionary work is. A missionary is called to a tribe to call to certain people. People down there called the new tribes. And there's not too many tribes left, Jesus says. This gospel must be published unto all nations, and then the end shall come. I think there's around 7 Indian tribes yet that's never been touched, never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. This must be so. But in heaven, when the saints went marching by, you kind of think when the saints go marching in. Well, they were not marching in. No saints march into heaven. When you come into heaven, you come floating in the Holy Ghost. In other words, when you come up to heaven's gates, I've seen the souls are coming in to heaven. Notice your singers marching in heaven. You don't march in. You're not ready for the march yet. You don't go marching into heaven. You just come right in. The first thing you do, you'll be conditioned to see the throne of God. If you marched into heaven, you'd be clear out of order, because everything in heaven is done in order. There's absolutely no confusion in heaven, and somebody come marching in heaven would confuse the whole reality up there. That's not the way you go in. You go in floating in the Holy Ghost. When you come to first the outer perimeter. You do that. And it's a serious entrance. You know, there's no music playing as you go into heaven. So you'd think it was Zeus's band or something, the idea of coming up here and getting up and start marching and have a gate open. You're not ready for a march. You're ready to be conditioned by God. So you go up there and you come to heaven's gates. Then you go through the outer perimeter, through the corridor. Then you go into heaven, very, very, very sacred. You're wondering what's inside. Just like you're wondering, it's all a wonderment. What is inside? You would never think of marching into heaven because you don't do that. But you come to the inner gate. When you get to the inner gate opens. And it's so spectacular that nobody would be marching going in there then. I mean, they must have thought you just come up there in the open cabin's gates and you just start a march and march in. You're not ready for a march. You've got to be conditioned by God for the angels and be absolutely taught by Jesus. No such thing as marching into heaven. So you're inside. When you're inside, you start going through a period of teaching. There are those that are not able to learn God's language. You're not ready for a march then. No way are you ready for a march. You're ready to be conditioned. First thing the soul comes in is learn all about heaven. Learn about what's there. You go in a learning period. There's some to teach you. You're in soldier, you're ready to be conditioned. What's going on in heaven? Every soul getting into heaven goes through a long period of teaching. I just went through 5.5 days of it. And I've come back with enough to fill 100 books. You're inside of heaven, it's so gigantic and so big. And you're taught to serve God in heaven. You're taught, Jesus took me all over the parts of heaven. Because I'd prayed for almost 7 years, oh God, let me see thy glory. But the teaching I got was spectacular. But think of somebody been up there 10 years receiving God's teaching. Receiving the teaching how to serve in heaven. Because there's so many parts of heaven. So much of a gigantic place. Music playing. And all these wonderful singing. Dancing on. The sea of glass. How in the world could you ever dance in that? You'd be all out of tune, all out of step, because everything is done in order in heaven. And the parade of the saints is wonderful, the parade of the martyrs. And as the saints, now their name was saints, but they certainly didn't go marching in. They went into heaven just like anybody else, but they were martyrs. And I saw a martyr come inside of heaven. A martyr been killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he come in, they literally picked him up, the angels did, and carried him. Laid him before the altar of God. Before the altar. And the first thing he done, he received God's blessing. Because he had given his life. Received a special blessing as I saw this martyr come before God. And God stretched out his hands and blessed that martyr. Blessed him. Now, they better stop singing that song when the saints go marching in. They better be saying, when my soul gets to heaven to receive instructions, so different. That martyr was laid before the throne of God. And Jesus was there to look at him and all the angels gathered around. And he received the treatment of the blessing as a martyr had given his life to Jesus. I don't know where he was killed. But he was from somewhere been killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after he was brought before God for the blessing, he was taken under the altar of God, carried under the altar of God by the angels, there to start his prayer. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will it be? I'm going to tell you, you're learning more about heaven now than you ever have in your life. Your life can't help but be changed. No way. As that martyr was carried under the altar of God. Sacredly carried under there. A soul being carried under the altar of God. With respect. With a blessing. With great respect from God. as the angels took him under. It was a sacred to watch it. Took that martyr underneath. The treatment of a martyr in heaven. He was put with the rest of them. And underneath there, thousands under the altar of God praying this prayer. How long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, will it be before the avenge of our enemy, which is the devil? Friends, this day, making this tape, I want you to really be serious about heaven and realize that heaven is a gigantic place for you to go. 80 times larger than the earth, making it 2 million miles around it. And there will be no such thing as the saints go marching in. That will not happen. Not happen, friends. But under the altar, the martyrs go. And there, the special fellowship with one another, because they've gone through the same treatment. They've been martyred. Their body's been martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I went in among the martyrs. Jesus took me in to feel the Spirit. You know what those martyrs was doing? Just exactly like the rest of them. They were all waiting for their martyred bodies to come to them. Some had their heads cut off. Some had been murdered. Some had been chopped to pieces. Some of the bodies of these people had suffered the fire. The three martyrs in Oxford was under there, where they'd been taken out and put to the cross. The three martyrs. They took them out, and they burnt them at the stake and set them afire. There, can you imagine the body being burned in the beautiful atmosphere of the great colleges of Oxford? But they had been burned alive until they was dead. But they were under the altar. It's a sacred thing to see the martyrs come in, to be put before under the altar of God, under there where they can join the rest of the martyrs. But they're waiting for their bodies. Those bodies will come up with the rest. The martyrs will join their body. And they're going to have, all through eternity, a special place in heaven. A special place in heaven. Friends, give your heart to Jesus. Do it, please. Accept Jesus as your Savior. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you'll receive your reward. Your reward is with God. And I want to tell you more about heaven in the next taping. Shall we pray? We pray, O God, as there's someone in the world being martyred at this very time. We pray, O God, that you would give them their reward. Father, speak peace to the people out here to receive Jesus as their Savior. Take these albums, my friends. Buy other sets of them. Put them in prisons. Put them in hospitals. Put them in places where they will really do good. Now, I love you because I sat on the seat of love for one purpose, that your soul may be saved. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, make me a Christian you want me to be, to fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give myself, give my finances, give what I have to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this mission might be fulfilled. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you.